just can't afford to wait. We've been asleep for too long. We've got to ride on. This is our country. We must fight to keep it free. Wake up, you people, now wake up. They play, but we can win it today. We've been conditioned to doubt, so I must stand up and shout. Let's save our country from the sea to shining sea. Wake up, you people. Wake up, you people. Before it's too late.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Word of the Most High radio show with your host, David James. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the wonderful counselor, the everlasting Father, we praise him day and night. We think of him day and night. We love him day and night. We respect him day and night. We thank him day and night. At least I hope you do. I know I do. Well, we're progressing. I had a nasty character write me something yesterday. And he said that the Paul shows are retarded that I'm doing. And he says that I probably don't understand the Greek. And he had nothing good to say. He was very angry. And I just don't think these people understand who I am and what I'm telling them. What I mean by that is I don't care what you think about me. I care what the Father thinks about me. In other words, I'm not after any glory of my own. It's safe to do that. I'd rather give the glory to the Father. You know how the 24 elders will throw their crowns before his feet, because without him there are no crowns. So I'm not looking for my glory. If I was looking for my glory, I'd be very upset and hurt by what this fellow said. But to me, it kind of cracks me up that what it is I believe I know who it is anyway, but I may not. It's the usual characters that wish they were Israelites. See, they're not really Israelites, and they're in Christian identity preaching the message. And they're not even white people. And they're very angry. And it's funny how they wish they could be us. And they hate that we're doing what we're doing. It's very, very, very interesting, this whole thing. And so I went to answer it after all the nasty things that were said. I answered, "Thank you for your kind words." And guess what? It came back undeliverable. So we, of course, this is a coward. He went by the name of Warren Vandersall, but we already know which fellow does these things. I don't know any Warren Vandersall. Maybe you do. I have no idea. But whoever did this is a coward, as usual. And so let's move on to more important things. I want to thank Yari for his recent donation. Thank you, Yari, very much. Thank you for sharing in the work that I'm doing and helping me to eat. Thank you very much. I want to say there is another brother, a wonderful brother from Germany. I know several people from Germany. And this brother writes, and I'm back on the slow internet again. It happened yesterday, but it lasted 3 weeks this time instead of two. So I have to make it through until, you know, next week sometime, the end of the week. So I couldn't get back to his email, but or even on to BitChute where he wrote the original comment. But he wrote about these verses, like Mark 16:15 said, and he said unto them, "Go ye into all of the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Ladies and gentlemen, is Jesus two different people? Because he told the disciples several times that he came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and not to go to the Gentiles, but to go unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But then he said, "Go ye to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Is he got two personalities? And of course he doesn't. The idea is that, okay, I'll tell you something. Willie Martin has written about Paul. He wrote some positive things, and he wrote some of the things about bashing Paul. So there's some things about it. But one of the things he wrote in there, and I don't know if this is true, is that he said Paul's writings came first, which I couldn't conceive that being true. But I don't know. I'm looking into it. So if Paul's gospel was written first, all of his 14 segments, then that means if these were written, somebody put these verses in these things later to accompany the Apostle Paul's gospel. Let's look at another one. "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come." That's Matthew 24:14. And the brother, you know, sent these and said, okay, listen to this one, Mark 14:9. "Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done, she be spoken for a memorial of her." That wasn't the one he sent me, excuse me. Matthew 26:13. "Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also..." Oh, same thing this woman had done. Now listen to this very... Remember I told you about what John says about the world. Well, we have some things here. John 15:19. "If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. I have given," John 17:14, "I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." We'll go into that future, in the future. because John has a lot to say about the world. You remember what I was talking about with that. But what I want to say about these verses that are in Matthew and Mark saying, go and preach to all the world, I want to speak to you logically right now. I want you to think about what I'm telling you, and let's try to make some sense of this. See, these verses were put in after, likely, because they totally contradict the gospel of Jesus Christ and who the gospel was to go to. So listen to this logically. See, if he said, go ye into all the world and preach this gospel to every creature, what that would mean was Paul's gospel. Why would I say that? That fits Paul's gospel. It does not fit the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why would I say that? The gospel of Jesus Christ is exclusive to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Let me give you the idea. So let's go to the Negroes and we'll preach to them the gospel of Jesus Christ, which says that the Anglo-Saxon people are the lost sheep of the house of Israel and that they will receive eternal life, but not you, black people. And this has nothing to do with you, black people, but we're preaching this to the whole world. This gospel, this exclusive gospel to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So you bring this to the Chinaman, to the seed of the dragon, to people that will trample you underfoot, and you tell them about how Israel, and we're not talking about Jews, of course, that the seed line of Israel, who kept their bloodline pure, you're going to tell them how we're going to be going to the marriage supper of the Lamb and how the dogs and pigs and everything are going to be with outside the kingdom, you see. And you're going to tell them about the woman and how Jesus said, oh, it's ridiculous. You understand what I'm saying to you? That there's no point in preaching the gospel that was to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel to the world. It doesn't make any sense. The world wouldn't want anything to do with it. What would it have to do with the world? Because it's an exclusive gospel that are from people that have a covenant. In other words, these scriptures are nobody's business. They're not the dragon seed's business. They're not Negro's business. They're not Chinaman's business, seed of the dragon. And I believe that the blacks are the seed line of Cain as well as the Jews and all those they've race mixed with now. You see, this doesn't make any sense whatsoever. So to preach the gospel that was to be preached to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, to the whole world, it doesn't make any sense to do such a thing. But Paul's gospel that is all-inclusive, that allows every pig, dog, and swine to come in just by saying, it's a free gift for all of them, by the way. It's free. Which I'm going to speak about that. I want you to think about some things. You see, why the people in identity, who would look at the Apostle Paul's gospel and after scrutinizing it and finding out that it doesn't match with Jesus Christ's gospel, who would know better than the Christian identity people about the universal gospels, the universalism that we don't want in. See, the scriptures are exclusive. They're about the race of Adam. They're not about black races. They're not about any of the other races. They have nothing invested in this. They have no blood invested in it. They have nothing invested in it. And who would know better than the people in Christian identity who claim that they're the only ones that know what's going on in the world, and they're the only ones that understand the scriptures, and they can't see that the gospel of Paul is different than Jesus Christ's gospel, whose gospel is exclusive, who they always claim they're speaking about the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Everything's about the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and it is. But they can't see for some reason that the Apostle Paul's gospel is not the same as Jesus Christ's gospel. Now, I find that quite ironic, because they should be the first people to have recognized this. Because they know about the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, let me explain something to you that's very interesting that you should think about when you have time. The Apostle Paul's gospel says that you don't have to be of the bloodline of Abraham, Jacob, Isaac. The scriptures went all the way through from the beginning, all the way to the end, and that's who these scriptures are written to. That's who the covenant is made with, etc., etc. So all of a sudden, the Apostle Paul comes along, and now you can be grafted into the covenant of Israel. You can be grafted in without being a bloodline member of Israel. It's free for you. Now, the Israelites, through all the scriptures, have died in Rome and all over the place and paid with their blood and have blood invested into this, families invested into this, bloodlines invested into this. And all of a sudden, there's going to be, well, you don't need to be part of the bloodline. We can graft you in spiritually. You can become a spiritual Israelite, and you can be spiritually brought into the covenant with the Father in heaven and attend the marriage supper of the Lamb. And it's all free. You don't have to do anything. The Father tells us throughout the whole scriptures, all the way to the end, that he who loves me and obeys my commandments, blah, 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 blah. You see what I'm saying? I've read all those things to you. So it wasn't free. Now let me explain to you something. The Father who took care of bloodlines all the way through, interested in where people came from, spent the time to continue our bloodline through Noah and so on and so forth, made sure that we married the right people. Abraham made sure he married that our own bloodline and so on and so forth. All this just to dump it down the toilet? And just say, well, every mongrel can come in. Anyone who's a mongrel, it says every plant not planted by my Father shall be plucked up. But the Apostle Paul says, oh, you don't have to worry about that. You don't have to be of the bloodline of Jesus Christ. You can be the dragon seed. Just come in. All you got to do is say you believe in Jesus Christ and you're in the door. And you don't have to love him. You don't have to obey his, because Paul didn't act like he loved him. Paul didn't care about the teachings of Jesus Christ. Paul taught something totally different than Jesus Christ. Paul doesn't care about the bloodline. Paul, even though he was circumcised, said that he didn't believe in circumcision, which is Mosaic law given by the Father to Moses and through the bloodline, you see. But Paul doesn't care about those things. And when we talked about John Bly from England saying that the dream that Peter had, making all the animals clean, was actually given to Paul and not Peter. Now, this makes a great deal of sense to me, because Paul does not care about circumcision. Paul does not care about the bloodline. Paul does not care about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul does not care about the law. He does not want you to obey the law. He says you don't have to obey the law. It's all been done for you. In other words, you don't have to do anything to join the kingdom. All you have to do is just say that you believe in Jesus Christ and have faith. And you're saved by grace through faith. Mongrels, devils, Jews, which are mongrels, the biggest mongrels in the world, etc., etc. You see what I'm saying? So they don't have to pay anything. So let me ask you a question. What have they got invested in the gospel of Jesus Christ? Nothing. See, it's free. Let me ask you a question. I've known people. Please remind me again, Father. I remember people when I was young, and they were given everything for free by their family. And I'm sure you can attest to these type of things. Everything was free. They didn't have to work for this. They got car after car after car, destroyed car after car after car. They had nothing invested in it, so they really didn't care about it. So we see these beasts of the field and everything else in our countries. They come and they get everything for free. Do they care about the country? Thank you, Father. He reminded me. Do they care about it? No, because they don't have anything invested in it. It didn't cost them anything. They don't care about our country. They don't care about our laws. They don't care about our people. They don't care about our God. They don't care about His laws. They don't care about anything because they have nothing invested in it. So a gospel that was given by the Apostle Paul, which is free, it wouldn't mean anything to these people. Here's what the Father reminded me, and this is so important. What are the fruits of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Now, this is going to really throw you for a loop. You're going to love this. And if the Apostle Paul is your God, you're not going to love it. If the Apostle Paul is more important than Jesus Christ to you, you're not going to love what I'm about to say. Jesus Christ's gospel brought forth serious good fruit, including the disciples, except for the one that was placed there as an Edomite Jew to betray him. They all died, and they all remained in his name. They were the good seed. And many people in that time, the Israelite people of that time that witnessed what Jesus Christ and the disciples did, were good seed. Now, let's juxtapose this. What about the Apostle Paul's gospel? And what about the fruits of that gospel? What have we seen are the fruits? Do you see the Judeo-Christian church today? Do you see the Christians who are too lazy to study anything? They have nothing invested in it, so why bother? It's been given to them for free, so they don't hold any value in it. See, the gospel of Jesus Christ that was exclusive to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, the martyrs have all paid with their blood. They have something invested in it. They're of the bloodline. They're of the seed line of Jacob. They've been fighting the seed line of the devil, the Edomite Jews, the offspring of Cain, and throughout all of time this has occurred. So we as true Israelites have something in the game. We have our blood invested. We have our people invested, our families. But the Apostle Paul's gospel, we see John Hagee is one of the fruits of the Apostle Paul's gospel. We see that the church has been mongrelized. These are the fruits of the Apostle Paul's gospel. We see the popes and all the decrees and the burnings at the stake. These are the fruits of the gospel of the Apostle Paul. We see the Jehovah Witnesses and et al. Let's just put it that way. I won't go through every name. We see that the fruits are bad fruits. Now, I will say this now. The fruits are many, but they're inedible fruits, if you know what I'm trying to say. In other words, the Apostle Paul has plunged this church is out there with thousands of people in them. The world loves the Apostle Paul. The world does not love Jesus Christ. I've shown you how the Babylonian Catholic Church exalts itself and the Apostle Paul and the saints and men and Mary, but they don't really have anything to do with the Father or Jesus Christ. They might say our Lord or this or that, you know, but there you go. They don't even study the scriptures to know that Lord means Baal. So, of course, they've declared that Lucifer is God. So, of course, they're going to continue with the word Lord. It's amazing. When you think about what I'm saying, the magnitude of what I'm saying right now, and glory to the Father who helps me to think about these things and reminds me. He reminded me, you know, I didn't remember that aspect, and it was one of the most important aspects. I want you to think about this on your own time. What are the fruits of Jesus Christ's gospel, and what are the fruits of the Apostle Paul's gospel? Because I will continue to remind you of the fruits of it, but I've just given you a big clue. The fruits of the Apostle Paul's gospel are not everlasting fruits. They've got mongrels in the church. They're disobeying the Father's word. They're doing vain babblings. And so many other things. Think about this. They're not obeying the laws of the Father in heaven. They're supporting our enemies who we're in a war with since the garden. They're supporting falsehoods like the little land of Israel over there, pretending that these people are God's chosen people. They're enabling this. These are the fruits of the Apostle Paul, his gospel. You may say this is cruel, what I'm saying, but you see, I care about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when somebody juxtaposes the gospel of our Messiah, I don't take too kindly to that. Maybe you do, but I don't. And I will protect and defend the kingdom of our Father because I love our Father. You see, it's not just lip service here, which is another of the fruits of the Apostle Paul's gospel. Lip service, but their hearts are far from him. You see, they're ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Those are the fruits of the Apostle Paul's gospel. You realize what I'm telling you right now? Are you just going to say poo-poo, poo-poo? You know, some guy writes something, you know, that I said one thing. All he could come up with in his little rebuke was something about me saying that the Apostle Paul didn't make his own commandments. But he didn't know what he was talking about. You could tell, right? But in other words, there are people that haven't even listened to all the shows. They haven't listened to Mr. Findlay's shows. They haven't looked into the matter. There's much more material on this matter in the internet. You don't even need me. I have no power base over you. If you want to go further in this, you can go further very quickly. So it angers me when I see the, I understand now what has happened to Christianity. I know what the devil has done. I know what his children have done. And I told you that they took his name out over 6,800 times. And this gospel of Paul, which is not the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is an universal gospel. Anybody can come in. It's free. You see, why did those people smash up their cars and why didn't they care about the things they had? And why? Because they had nothing invested in it. And the Apostle Paul's gospel leaves it that way. You have nothing invested in it. Nothing. It's free. So you didn't pay anything. You didn't have to work at it. You didn't have to love the Father. You didn't have to study to show yourself approved. You didn't have to do anything. All you do is take a little cruise here. You're in, baby. You don't have to do anything. You can live like the devil's children. Do what thou wilt. And as I will repeat over and over, who would want you to disobey the Father's law but a Jew? Who would stand up for the Apostle Paul but Jews? Or people that are deceived. You know, there are people that, you know, have written on this and they've defended Paul. But I'm telling you, there is no defense. Everything I've told you so far should be enough for you to understand what the real story is. You see, I don't have to know the Greek. See, what these people are saying is if I don't know the Greek, I can't know what I'm talking about with the Apostle Paul. So, you see, they have no idea that the Holy Spirit has always guided me and is continuing to guide me, and they act like the Holy Spirit doesn't have any power. You have to know the Greek. Oh, I guess a lot of our people won't be saved because they don't know what the Greek is then, right? See, the Holy Spirit is much more capable than you could ever imagine. And the Holy Spirit is there to guide us and to teach us and to make sure we're not deceived. Don't think that I bring these things to you lightly. I care about the sheep. I care about the Father's sheep, and I would not want to teach you anything that would be detrimental to you, that would harm you, that would deceive you, or anything. You take that for what it's worth. I'm not going to say, you have to trust me. I'm just going to tell you that's what I do. Whether you believe that or not, that's totally up to you. Do you realize the guts that it takes to do what I'm doing right now? You talk about faith, right? And I'm not trying to toot my own horn. I just told you it's all glory to the Father. Willie Martin talked about how people went nuts on him. I'm just, paraphrasing for even talking about the Apostle Paul. See, back then, the world wasn't ready. Now, there are still people that still aren't ready to understand, well, what happened to Christianity? What destroyed Christianity? What has brought Christianity to its knees? Well, I'm telling you what it is. And it takes guts to do what I'm doing. And I know that there's people out there that have gone against people that have talked about Paul. But you know something? I don't think that what I'm telling you is refutable. It's irrefutable. If you can't see what I'm telling you, then you're either willfully ignorant or you do not have the Holy Spirit and you're blind. Remember, what I said is most of these people haven't taken the time to read my article, to listen to the shows that I've presented, to listen to William G. Finley's shows that he presented in his time. And so, again, Proverbs 18:13, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is shame and folly unto him. You see, there's so many people that worship the Apostle Paul because the world has programmed this into your mind. I told you, just think about these things. They're just so simple. The Catholic Church, everything to do with its Christianity aspect has to do with the Apostle Paul. It has nothing to do with the older part of the Testament. Judeo-Christianity's aspect of Christianity is also hung on the Apostle Paul. Yes, it is. They preach on that. It's got to be 70 to 90% of the time, as far as I know. They certainly don't preach on the older part of the Testament because the Apostle Paul told them that that's not, you don't need that anymore. You don't need to know what his commandments are. You don't need to worry about that aspect. Just throw that away. Don't even waste your time looking into it. Don't find out anything about what's going on. See, what it is they don't want you in the book, the older part of the Testament, because they don't want you to find out about the two seed line message. They don't want you to find out that we are fighting a war against the Edomite Jews. They don't want you to find out who the Jews really are. So by just taking that and throwing that into the garbage, these Christians are so-called Christians, these Jewish Christians, even though they're not Jew by the DNA, this is the Jewish version of Christianity, Judaized Christianity, Judeo-Christianity. And so they are spiritual Jews. You see, that's what it's all about. I mean, I shouldn't laugh. It's just so crazy. They support these Jews. They defend these Jews. They love these Jews. And these Jews are the enemies of our father and our race. They're the enemies of the Israelite kingdoms of the world. They're the enemies of the heavenly kingdom. They're the reason why we don't obey the laws. You see, just as the Apostle Paul told you the law is no longer needed, the Jews tell you the Father's law is no longer needed in any way. You don't have to obey any of that. They're kicking his Ten Commandments out of every courthouse and everything else because the truth is no defense in judicial, the J-E-W-dicial, the judicial system. See, Talmudic law, the laws of men, the laws and commandments of men are what our governments are doing for us on a daily basis. These are not the laws of Yahweh, these are the laws of men and commandments of men. People, I hope you're seeing that what I'm telling you, okay, let's look at the dream, okay? And it makes sense to me that Paul would have this dream rather than Peter. This dream always bothered me because it's sending a false message. And I remember thinking, well, it has to do with Cornelius and, you know, this eating with people that aren't circumcised thing and all that kind of stuff, right? But if Mr. John Bly is right and Paul had this dream, there again, who would want you to not obey the Father's law, the Father's food laws, the Father's statutes? Who would want you to do that? A Jew. That's why they would defend the Apostle Paul. They worship the Apostle Paul because it's one of their brothers. To the Jew first and then the Gentile. Again, let me remind you about that. You see, it doesn't always work out that way. Christian identity will tell you, well, every time you see the word Jew in the New Testament, that means it's Judean. Oh, let me ask you a question. Is that true? No, it's not true. When Paul says to the Jew first, he means to the Jew. Because he believes the true Israelites are the Jews, those Pharisees, and their children, and so on and so forth, that were actually Edomites. He believes they're the true Israelites. See, those Jews of that time and now are angry about that Jacob took Esau's birthright, even though we know the whole story on that. And they're trying to steal it back by saying that they are. One of the things that William G. Finley pointed out, and I'll get back to the dream in a second. One of the things that William G. Finley pointed out was that, I just lost it. because I said the dream. I'll get it back in a sec. Okay, let's talk about the dream. Who would want you to disobey the law? Who would? Would the Israelites that were in the time of Jesus want you to obey the law? Even these Judeo-Christians, probably most of them should have the law of the Father in their heart automatically. But they've been deceived by a delusion because they do not love the truth. So who would want you to stop obeying? So what are the fruits of this dream sequence that the Christians of today say are the reason why we can eat pig, the reason why we can just disregard the Father's laws? Do you think that if the Father said the pig was bad to eat back then, do you think it would be any better to eat now? As a matter of fact, it would be worse to eat now because it would be less pure of a pig than it was then because of the way they treat these animals. But you see, the Father had given me the idea, and this was reiterated during that show about robbing Peter to pay Paul when he told you all about all the diseases that come from a pig. He said that pigs were there to clean the land. And that's one of the reasons why. See, I said that the reason why we're not supposed to eat shrimp, lobster, clams, and all these different things is because they're to clean the ocean. If we eat all of them, the catfish are to clean the streams. If we eat all of those things, there won't be anything to keep the fish tank clean, right? Even in a fish tank, I had fish when I was young, and you had to have these ones that would clean the algae off the bottom, right? So if you killed them, all the algae would grow and kill all the fish, correct? See, it's not a religious rite. It's because they need to be there to keep everything straight, to clean the ocean, to clean the stream so that everything doesn't die. It's the same thing that I have talked about so many times where if you don't take the dead heads off plants, it'll kill the whole plant. And how we as the Adamic race are not in charge at this point, and how we are not able to cull these homosexuals and cull all of these transvestites and these pedophiles, etc., and these murderers and serial killers and everything else. And they're allowed to stay in our society, some of them in jail, but most of them are in our society, and they're killing us. They're killing our world. They're killing our children. It is the goal of the Jew to spiritually kill all of the white race. Make no mistake about it. So what are the fruits of eating all these things now that they're made clean. The father just changed his mind. He said, oh, you just go ahead and eat all that stuff. Whatever I have made clean, you can eat. But what are the fruits of eating pig and eating mussels and clams? And you have ever heard of the red tide? Have you ever heard of how many people die from eating seafood all the time? Have you looked at people that eat pig in America? How big they are now? And it's not just pig that's responsible for that, but it is a big part of what's responsible. So those are the fruits of that dream. So what should that tell you about that dream? See, it wouldn't be Peter who didn't want you to obey the law and obey the food laws, because Peter obeyed those laws. Peter loved Yeshua and he obeyed the food laws. He obeyed all the laws that he could possibly. Who would want you not to obey the food laws so that they could destroy you? See, another thing about it is that the Holy Spirit that lives in you, there's reasons why we don't eat these things and so on and so forth, because you make it you make your temple inhabitable for the Holy Spirit. You understand? So this is just these are things that you need to think about. What are the fruits of the Apostle Paul's gospel? I see plenty of fruit, but the question is, ladies and gentlemen, are the fruits good? Or is just there's just plenty of them, but are the fruits good? The answer is no. And if you don't recognize that, then you don't understand. And if you can't see what I've been telling you, even up to now, you should understand that there's problems, all right? And again, this is not an attack on Christianity. This is an attempt to restore the gospel of Jesus Christ to its rightful place. This is not an attack on Christianity. It's an attack on the attack on Christianity. Just like restoring the Father's name, just like restoring the Testament to one Testament, instead of allowing it to be divided up and to the Jew first and then the Gentile. So back to that. I told you that it doesn't always work by putting the name Jew to Judean. Want me to prove it to you? Beware of the fables of the Jews. Now, I've already said this before. So that means that it should say, beware of the fables of the Judeans. Right? Wrong. Now, I understand Jew doesn't belong in the Bible. You could just say, beware of the fables of the Edomites or Canaanites. You see, this does not work. And when Paul says to the Jew first and to the Gentile, remember how I read to you that he said that Judea knew him, all of Judea knew him? He didn't mean all of the people in Judea. He said the Jews. All the Jews knew him. Again, that was another case of, oh, well, that means all of Judea knew him. Well, no, all of Judea didn't know Paul. But all the Jews knew Paul, and he grew up with the Jews because his father was a Pharisee. And, of course, Pharisees' children would hang around with Pharisees and Pharisees' children. And the Jews knew him. You see how all this fits? So not every case of this word Jew, even though it doesn't belong there in the first place, does not always translate to Judean. You You know, it's interesting how this world really thinks, is that they, you know, a lot of them, they don't think with common sense logic. They say things that they've repeated from somebody else, just like the Jewish version of Christianity. They don't bother to try to understand these things for themselves. They repeat and parrot what others have repeated and parroted from others without a think, without a thought. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Blah, 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 blah. But flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But any dog, pig, or swine can inherit the kingdom of God for free. You can be a spiritual Israelite. You can be spiritually brought into the covenant. You can go to the marriage supper of the Lamb, although there was a fellow there that was kicked out because he wasn't wearing the right clothes. In other words, he wasn't dressed in white. Those that die in Christ that are in the bloodline are given a white robe, white raiment. I thought he loved the whole world. Then that means everybody's going to be at the marriage Lamb of Christ. Everybody in the whole world will believe in Jesus Christ. And so that everybody is spiritually grafted in. And these Jews that hate Jesus Christ, they still believe in him, or else you don't hate somebody you don't believe in, right? So they believe in him to a degree, but they don't believe in his ministry. They don't believe in his gospel. They don't believe he's the Messiah, but they believe in him. You see, so then that means they're going to heaven, according to the Apostle Paul and his gospel. You see how that does not make sense? The Father's not stupid, you know. The Father wouldn't give away the bread of the children. He said it's not meat to give the children's bread to the dogs. In other words, that would be giving it for free. But since this woman showed that she knew that she wasn't one of the Israelites and she admitted it and she, you know, had some sort of faith in Jesus Christ, in a sense, he healed her daughter who had demons. But you see, he didn't give her eternal life. He didn't give her the bread of the children. See, so if we were to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the whole world, it would make no sense at all, except to let them know that the Anglo-Saxon race are who we say we are. But it wouldn't make any sense because they would be jealous. They would be angry because they're not included in it. So it makes no sense to preach the gospel. See, if the Father said, don't go to the Gentiles, the stupid word there, don't go to the dragon seed and all that, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He gave them the same command as he was given by the Father. And then you believe that he would just say, turn around right after after he died and say, oh, I'm going to send Paul to the Gentiles. I'm going to send Paul to the whole world and we're going to just spiritually graft them in. Who cares about bloodlines now? Who cares about any? You see, the fruits of the Apostle Paul's gospel are what our children are doing today, mixing with other people. They don't have any respect for bloodlines. They don't have any care about it. They have nothing invested in it. If you are in the bloodline of Jesus Christ, you have something invested in the kingdom. If you are given the keys to the kingdom for free and you don't have to do anything for it, you have nothing invested. Why would you care about it? What would make you see that? What are the fruits of the Apostle Paul's gospel again? It's been sent to the Africans, and as long as a white man stays there, they might obey. But when the white man leaves, they go right back to revert back to their own thing, or they have a modified view of Christianity and their own ideas of what Christianity is, which aren't the Father's ideas. So it has been a waste of time going to the continent of Africa to give them our gospel, so to speak, the Apostle Paul's gospel. And it would certainly be a waste of time to give them the Jesus Christ's gospel. So, because they're not included in it, there's no point in preaching something like that to them because it has nothing to do with them. Do you understand? And so, whoever put these in there, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Whoever put that in there is responsible for putting that in there, and they're going to pay dearly. Because that's exactly the opposite of what Jesus Christ told his disciples to do. You don't think Mark, you don't think that when these things were written that they just said, oh, geez, I don't notice that that's there. I don't notice that that's totally different than what Jesus said. I only walked with him for 3.5 years or whatever. You know, he didn't, you know, make it very clear to me, you know, and, you know, I wasn't going to question him because if he says, go ye to all the world when he told me not to go to all the world, well, maybe he just, it's a different day and he changed his mind. No, 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 no. He changes not. And he didn't change his mind. You see these creatures in our lands today. You think that the Father wants them in his kingdom? Are you out of your mind? Do you want them even in your kingdom that's on earth here today, never mind in the kingdom of the Father? Ladies and gentlemen, think for yourself. Because I won't be there to think for you. I think that's what the George Harrison song said, the Beatles song. Think for yourself, because I won't be there with you. Right? So, what can I tell you? I love you people, and I'm looking out for your best interest. I hope you care to know what has happened to Christianity and why it is in the state it's in now. I've explained a lot of these things about the division, why we would have 33,000 denominations. That would be 9 again. The devil, 3 times 3 is 9, or 33. Ladies and gentlemen, it's all there for you. May the Father take our people out of these false religions, and may he restore them to himself, our brothers and sisters. And may he show us the cause of how we got to where we're at today, so that we can be careful not to let it happen any longer, that we can change it, we can restore the kingdom. May he help us to do these things. May he give us the wisdom and understanding to help to restore his name, his kingdom, and the testament, which is my mission and I hope will be yours. In the mighty name of Yahweh, I pray these things.
We gotta clean up the mess. You know that's true. We gotta clean up the mess. I'm a-tellin' you, we gotta clean up the mess. You know that's right, we gotta clean up the mess. Both they mess has been a happening far and wide. This mess has been a hurting our nation's pride. This mess has gotta be cleaned.